said that I can't remember everything that needs to be done or said, talked about. I feared going to Guatemala months ago, months before we even went. But it was because of some of the people here and the good Lord up above that gave me the energy to go over there and do what we've done. There was, the orphanages was just like, oh my goodness. It was just amazing at the orphanage. I remember one particular gentleman that we went to a village for, or went there, to, and we prayed for a guy named Danny. He wanted to get married, have children. He'd been sick. He'd been having some seizures, I believe. Is that correct? And I hope the Lord has healed him, and hopefully he's married by now, you know? So, but I'd like to thank a few people here in the church for what they've done, and that was people like Max, Sean, Steve McGowan, Ben. Where were you at, Ben? Ben and I got sick while we were there, and we had to stay back one day. But I don't know what else to say, guys. Y'all need to step up to the plate and go. And my plans is maybe to go back next year when we decide to go back. So, and I thank every one of you.
Out of the whole trip, this is my least favorite part. I hate public speaking, but I'm going to do it anyway. What? Oh, sorry. I'm Amber Murphy.
Hi, Amber.
Hi. I personally love going to Guatemala, because, I mean, it was my first time on an airplane, first time going to a foreign country, and it was my first time sharing the gospel one-on-one. But really, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the thing that happened to me. On Friday, we went to the volcano. That was pretty cool. Except I only got up halfway, because you could either hike or go on horseback. And so we knew I couldn't do the hike because I'm just not that type of person. I'm not that physically able to do that. So they're like, me and my mom were like, okay, let's put you on the horse and see how you do. And if you know me, you know that I'm like allergic to every animal alive. So I got up to like the first time we stopped and my throat was already like itching horribly and my asthma was acting up so bad. So I got off, and I walked to the next break, and I was huffing the whole way. So at that point, we just stopped, and I told my mom, I can't do this. And so it actually kind of went crazy at that point because everyone was like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong? And so it ended up, it was me, my mom, and Mr. Herman that went back down. And, you know, that was really cool. So Mr. Herman started talking to us. And he prayed for me first, and if you've ever heard Mr. Herman pray, you know that that's really cool. So we started walking again, and he started talking to me and my mom about my allergies and asthma, and so he stopped, and he's like, can I pray for you again? And I'm like, sure, because whatever, I want people like that to pray for me. So so he prayed for me again, and that was, it was really cool the second time, too. So after that, we kept walking, and he started talking to me in particular. He told me about his experience of going up a volcano and not being able to make it, and how he was afraid of what people would think of him. And so, but he also told me not to be afraid of what people would think of me because of that. He told me that God made me for a purpose and on purpose, and God doesn't make mistakes. Because a lot of times I don't like my asthma and allergies because it's like, oh my gosh, why do I have to do this? But he was like, he made you on purpose. And so, yeah. And then we got to this one spot, and I was like, can we just stop here? Because it was absolutely gorgeous. Because if you looked out on, like, the right side, yeah, right. Okay, it was like this huge, brightest green meadow you've ever seen. But if you looked on the other side, you could look over the valley and see, like, this different cities, and then you could see, like, three of the volcanoes. So that was, like, amazing. And so we just sat there for, like, 2 hours waiting for the other people to come down. And so that was really cool. And so another thing that happened to me in relation to that, my family sent me letters every day. They sent me with, like, letters to open every day. So the one from my dad for Friday, it was so awesome. It was this one. And it says, God maybe made you on purpose for a purpose. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. And another thing that was really cool, Mr. Herman wasn't even supposed to come with us that day, and he did. So that was like, well, that was also kind of cool because it's like, I did that. So, yeah. But like one of the other crazy things that happened to me was the night before, I went up onto the top balcony because, I mean, it's really pretty up there at night. So I was like, okay, let's, whatever. I just wanted to go up there. So I did, and I started praying and singing. And so, and then I was up there, and I remembered Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And it's going to sound pretty bad, but I was up there, and I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And so I did, just because I could, really. And I started singing again. And so, except it was really cool, because it wasn't a song that's ever been heard by anyone else but me. And it was along the lines of Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm song. And if you've never heard it, it basically says that whatever comes away, I will still praise you. And so that was really cool that that happened the night before that happened, because, I mean, I was totally unaware of what was happening. So that was really cool. And there's one last thing. While I was on the volcano, I got this rock. And that was really cool. It then became a symbol to me of God's faithfulness, because I mean, I had never been on, you know, like I said before, I've never been on an airplane before. And God got me through that fear of, like, that and just talking to people who I didn't know. So, yeah.
Hey there, my name is Shana McGowan. I actually wrote that down, it's my name. Because like Amber, I am afraid and nervous to speak in front of a crowd. But I am obediently going to weave my way through this. So just bear with me, I'm going to read. First, thank you for supporting me and my family to go. It was an awesome privilege for Steve and I to go together and to take our two children with us. Thank you if you supported us in money or prayer, and thank you. Thank you for coming to hear our report of what God has done. So, would we go? As Harry began making plans to lead a new team last year, Steve and I began talking about our family and who may possibly join the 2012 team. We both recognized the need to take both of the boys, not just one, due to a division that had been growing in our home over the past year. We felt strongly that Steve, myself, and the boys should go, or none at all. Steve asked Harry about all of us going because Ben did not yet meet the minimum age requirement, and Harry said yes and encouraged us all to go. So we began to prepare. The boys applied for passports, we bought luggage and Pepto and had meetings. We sent support letters and God began preparing our hearts. We would sit together as a family practicing how to share the gospel. We would use crosstalk, and I just brought this so you could see what it is. It's just a tool to witness, and it's made for children. We had McGowan-style gospel stations Faith Ann would usually share the gospel. Ben would be the Guatemalan, and Bowen would interpret. And as it went, we would laugh and miserably fumble our way through it, and always deciding that next time would be better. Also, Steve and I quickly realized we needed to address sinful behavior within our own home on a daily basis with ourselves and our children, intentionally correcting and instructing with the Word of God and pointing them to Christ. For if you can't see your own sin, you have no need for a Savior. And how in the world would they be able to share the gospel unless they were clean vessels equipped with the knowledge and grace of Christ's forgiveness? After many conversations with the kids, on June 21st, Faith Ann came to Steve and I, and she wanted to express that she wanted to ask God to forgive her of her sins. She recognized her sinful behavior. She wanted to be a child of God, and she believed Christ, the perfect Son of God, and his death on the cross fully paid for her sins. So Steve and I led her in a prayer, and we rejoiced with her as a sister in Christ. Guatemala. My first impression of Guatemala was our arrival at the airport in Guatemala City. The airport does not allow anyone to enter unless you're a passenger. So there was a sea of Guatemalans crowded outside the doors as we exited, looking for Hector in the bus. I was suddenly fearful and intimidated by the number of people standing around and wondering why they were all there. They seemed very solemn and maybe even threatening as we stood waiting for the school bus in our bright yellow shirts. Our devotions with Herman. Each morning before heading out to the village, Herman would give a devotional. His theme for the week was to serve and to witness. God used this time each morning to help equip me for the day ahead and convict me of my own sin in my life. And this is a good part. Our mission and the meat and purpose of our trip, the people. We traveled to 4 remote villages with medical missions ministries Monday through Thursday. We provided medical clinics, we shared the gospel, and we prayed for these communities. I was humbled as we would pull up to each village and unload to find benches of men, women, and children quietly waiting to be seen. As I learned, it is rare for these remote villagers to see a doctor due to their location and poverty. So although they were there seeking medical attention with this ministry, the ministry uses this as a platform to share Christ with them in the gospel stations while they wait for their prescriptions to be filled. I was in a gospel station for 3 days. It was here that I got to know the men and women of Guatemala, hear their stories and struggles, share with them the resurrection power of Christ, pray for and encourage the believer. Here are some of their stories. I listened to a single mother agonize over why her 12-year-old daughter was no longer speaking. I met a young mom and her sick baby girl with Down syndrome. I met an elderly woman that just wanted to live closer to her adult children. I met the young mother of 3 that had a husband who drove a bus and wanted prayer for his safety. I met Ashley, Misa, Elizabeth, Daniel, Stella, Martha, Marie, Wendy, Eva, Axel, Dora, the struggling young widow, and mother of an 8-year-old little girl, and sweet Lily, the orphan 13-year-old girl who was cross-eyed. The first day at the gospel station, Steve and I met a family of believers that radiated Christ with their words, demeanor, and relationship with one another. The very elderly mother, her 2 daughters, and son-in-law were there. We prayed for their physical needs and the elderly father that was still at work in the fields. I was truly blessed to have met them, their faith in God, and in the power of their... I was truly blessed to meet them because of their faith in God and in their faith of the power of prayer. It far exceeded mine, and I was blessed. Later that day, Steve and I also had the privilege of leading an elderly Mayan woman to Christ using 2 interpreters. This was totally God and totally amazing. Almost done. The second day, Christy Murphy and I were at a gospel station together. This day, I met a woman I will not forget. We spent a long, difficult time with her. It seemed to me as if the very hard realities of her life over time had hardened her heart. She spoke of the death of a child, a drunken husband, and physical abuse without an ounce of emotion. She did not look us in the eye. She did listen as we shared Christ's love for her. She agreed that she understood and that she had even heard it before. But the reality I saw in front of me was that although she did not disagree with us, she did not believe or accept this gift to be hers. It was hard with the communication barrier, but I fully believe we said all that God gave us, and it was sobering to watch her walk away, knowing that she may be eternally separated from our God. To end, I wanted to end with treasures of my trip. Treasures to go with my husband and children, to build better relationships with my team, and to have Max as our fearless leader. Realizing firsthand my God is also the God of Guatemala, and He intimately cares for them as He does me. Trusting in God to bear fruit in the seeds that we planted. Hot showers and health. A bigger heart to witness and for missions. Ben and Max riding horses up a volcano. My lasting impression was the faith and perseverance of the people stricken with poverty and injustice. And as my good friend says, there are only two things in this world that have eternal value and are worth investing in: the Word of God and the souls of men.
Hi everyone, my name is Bowen McGowan, and I went to Guatemala this year over the trip in the summer. And going down to Guatemala, I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I kind of did, because like my dad went last year in the 2011 trip, and he, you know, kind of scouted it out for us and all. And then this year, they came up to us, scouted, you know. He told us all that it'd be okay to go as a family, and I guess we started talking about it like the second Guatemala meeting we had a couple minutes before Guatemala. And I was kind of uneasy about it, like I am speaking right now, but you know, whatever. You know, God blessed me with just, you know, being calm in the gospel stations. Not, don't worry about it, He'll give you the words, you send the message, you know. And I didn't enjoy as much the gospel stations as much as I did the children's ministries and the pharmacy. I was able to connect a little bit better with the children, you know, child, you know. There's not as much of a language barrier there, and because you know you're able to play with them and do soccer and all that, and you know, just seeing how thankful those little kids were just for even the little things. You know, just going out there playing soccer with them for 5 minutes. I mean, it seems like no one had ever done that with them. Their dad or mom had never gone, thrown the ball with them, you know, told them how cute they were, how nice they were. Like, they'd never been complimented before. And the smile on their face was just ear to ear. Coming away from Guatemala, I have a lot more new friends, Guatemalans, people on the team. I know them better than I did before. And we may think coming away from the trip, I could have done something else, but you couldn't have. God's grace is enough. He sent you down there to do what He wanted you to do. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Peter Basso. The best thing I liked about Guatemala was making new friends and getting to know old ones. Like, I found out Mr. Key is really good at ping pong. I lost to him a lot. And I found out another thing. I'm not good at it. I also found out that Ben, Bowen, and I are really good at with the kids. And they are so thankful if we just give them a tennis ball they're just so thankful. Like, here in America, you'd give it to them, they'd go, who cares? But down there, they're genuinely thankful. I was blessed to be in children's ministry one day, and I helped, I read them the bead bracelets for Christ, and they really enjoyed that. And I was hearing some people say that during the gospel stations, the kids were sharing with them what they learned. So that was kind of cool. The villages and towns were very interesting, but it was kind of sad to see all the guards and shotguns and army people all around. It just shows that these beautiful people live in a crime-filled world. Also, because of this, there were walls, just from simple fences to 10-foot walls topped with electrocuted razor wire, or if they didn't have enough money for that, they broke glass and cemented it on the top. We saw and felt when we were going out to the villages far away that it was paved so far, then it was gravel, then it was paved, then it was gravel. And so you didn't really get used to either of them. And down there, it's so fertile that they take logs that they've cut off a tree, or cut a tree up, and drill them into the ground, then the logs start sprouting. So they have their own little plants. It looks really cool. It was really cool. Climbed the volcano, as many people say, but we also roasted marshmallows on a hot vent, which it was like an oven, so 5 seconds later it's crispy and really good. We also roasted marshmallows for 4th of July in a wheelbarrow on the top layer or top floor of the compound, and we got to have a fireworks show and we sung the Star Spangled Banner. I think we're the only ones celebrating there. while we were driving around, I saw no one smoking, which I think that was amazing. And we also saw about 500 traffic violations and almost no stoplights. And also, I think it was Dietrich, but he played chicken with a couple of cars. I suddenly hear him counting down in Spanish on the radio. I look up front and there's a guy swerving out in front of a chicken breast bus, which is they to and from the villages. That's how they get there. And he swerves back, and Sophia was right next to my dad, and my dad's like, and then Sophia's like, were you scared? And my dad just blows it off, and it was funny. I also thought it was cool because the god of these Guatemalans were the god that we're worshiping here today. One God over the entire universe. Although we may speak a different language, we're all brothers in Christ. All right.
Thank you, Peter.
It was a privilege to go to Guatemala and have a family member there. That was kind of cool to see that Sean was there with Kendall and the McGowans were together. And I got to take Peter and Robin and Jillian were there. And was that it? And yeah, it's right, and Amber and Christy. And it was kind of neat. It's really neat to share it. It's kind of cool to watch it through the eyes of your child. So if you get a chance to do that, I recommend that. I think I'm a lot like David. I think last year when the testimonies were being given up here. I think I sat out there and I thought, you know, I really need to go. I really do. And then, you know, you just kind of put it on the back burner for a while. And then about January, February, we started talking about it again and we started thinking about having meetings. And that's when all the anxieties and fears start coming in. You're like, this is real. We're really going. You know, for me, you know, some of my fears, and because I want to share that with you, were, you know, I was thinking, gosh, I haven't been in a plane in 7 years. And I flew all my life, but now I'm claustrophobic all of a sudden as I've gotten older in life. And I'm thinking, am I going to be able to handle being in that plane for, I don't know if it was 10 hours of Guatemala or three with my geography. You know, And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, man, what if I got kidnapped in Guatemala and stuck in a trunk? You know, you're going through all the stupid things, you know. You're like, oh, yeah, that's real. That's going to, it might happen, but not much, okay? You know, also just not knowing, I get motion sick really easily. I'm thinking, they talked about riding in these Suburbans and bouncing on roads and, you know, and driving 100 miles an hour and playing chicken with the chicken buses. And so all those little fears, you know, were entering my mind. And you know, truly, God was very gracious and overcoming all those fears. I actually got to go on a plane flight before we went to Guatemala. I hadn't been in like 6, probably 7 years, and ended up getting to go to Denver. And, you know, the flight was miserably bumpy. But you know, I made it, and I didn't get claustrophobic and didn't throw up, make it get gross there. And I thought, you know, I can handle Guatemala. I can handle that part of it. And going to Guatemala, you know, we got in those Suburbans every day. Everybody runs outside. We get up in the morning. We have our breakfast. We have our devotion. And then for some reason, we all eat again. I don't know why we're stuffing pizza down our throat, Sean, before we get in those Suburbans. The last thing I wanted to do was eat a whole lot before I got in the Suburban to go bounce around on the pavement, non-pavement, as Peter said. And, you know, I really like to, you know, try to have a certain seat so I can see. And, you know, all the you guys who are motion sick, you know this stuff. You got to be able to see the road. And but, you know, never once was that a problem. You know, a few times it was close, but, you know, you're hanging on tight to the seat. The Lord took care of all those things. You know, so you have your fears, you have your anxieties. You know, some people would say, just get over it. And that's what I needed. I needed to just get over it and enjoy the trip, which I did. It was wonderful. I wasn't sure, really another anxiety, wasn't sure what to expect with Peter. Didn't know how he was going to handle it. You know, he's 13. How's he going to handle this? You parents kind of know, you go into something like that, what's your child going to do? And Peter did, he did great. He wasn't perfect. We had our times. We had to speak about a few things while we were down there. But you know, it's all a growing process, right? I mean, we grew during that time. You don't grow without a little bit of pain. So that was good. That was good. And certainly loved sharing that experience with my son. Even raising support was kind of a fear, you know? I wasn't real sure about raising support. I know we support people and it's wonderful, but to go ask people yourself sometimes is hard. But you know, the Lord was, we didn't raise every penny of it. We got pretty close. We didn't do too bad, but the Lord was good. He raised it. A lot of people, you know, it's amazing how when you give people that chance to support you, how they relish that chance. They want to, they desire to do it. And it's a blessing to them to support you. So we got to give that opportunity out there. We really need to, and not be afraid to do that. So that's another thing I learned. Just go ahead and do it. You know, I like the book that Rob was the name of that book. Just Do Something, right? That's a great book, and I felt like it. I felt like just do something. Just go do it. You know, the Lord will take care of these things. As we were reading today, He's the one we trust, and He's our shelter and comfort. Anyway, getting on to the trip real quick. Some of the things that I learned is how awesome my fellow teammates are. It was great to be with these people. And I heard Max say over and over, Max, I'd go, Max, are you got to be the leader here at the last minute. Are you nervous? He's like, nope. When I see the kind of people I got on this trip, I'm not nervous. I know what kind of men and women and kids we got here. And they'll take the ball and run with it. We'll get things done. And it was. I mean, it was great. But more than just getting things done, and it was getting to know some people. And one particular, I know Christy and I got to, and Amber got to sit in the back of one of the Suburbans, and we had probably about a 2-hour ride back. And we just talked about old movies and old songs. And, you know, Christy and I are close in age. And so it was cool to just share all that stuff. You know, it was kind of neat to get to know people. And I asked Amber a lot of questions and got to know Kendall's nickname is Coco and all that kind of stuff. And didn't know about a lot of these things. So it was really great to know. And certainly you guys, if you get to go, you got to know the Guatemalan people there. The translators are young. Many of them are very young. And they're giving up their time. We had Pablo and Juan, who were like, 14 years old? And they gave up a trip to go to the coast with their family. You got kids coming home from college who are spending not just the week we were there, but most of their summer. They're 20, 19, 20, 21, and they're translators. So their hearts are right, and it's encouraging when you see that. And so getting to know Hector and Dietrich and Herman and then the people who even worked at the compound, how wonderful they were. What selfless servants. And that meant a lot to me. I think the first few days I was there, I told Sean and Steve that I just don't feel it yet, okay? And I appreciated that, especially with Sean and Steve. They said, you know, it's kind of the same way for me. First few days, for them as guys, I don't know what it is. I had figured it out. You just weren't feeling it yet. You weren't feeling the whole, hey, Lord, you're really cool. We're going to share the gospel, and this is going to be great, and God's doing great things. You're just sort of watching. And I said, and Sean said, it'll come. It'll come. It'll come. And I believe really and truly the morning that Christy taught and Herman taught, the devotions were just awesome. The Lord began to work, had to go share the gospel with people. I was in the gospel station pretty much by myself one day with Peter, because Peter wasn't going to do it, right, Peter? he was going to be my helper, but he wasn't going to be sharing. And the Lord began to change. And I know on the last day, one of my particular instances was a young woman who came with her little three-year-old girl, and she was just kind of didn't share a lot at first. Then finally, we asked her if we could pray for her, and she began to pray. She began to ask for prayer that her husband is abusive, and that's why she had hobbled up there and she couldn't walk very well. And so we asked her questions, and I was like, whoa, this is getting out of my league here. And I called Robin over. And you know, I felt like a woman needed to be here with this woman, and Robin came over and we got to pray with her, and then she was going to have to walk home, and she had a 3-year old. She could barely walk as it was. Her husband had beat her and caused her this, and she was going home to that. And so we were able to finally went over to Max and said, Max, is there any way we can help this woman? He goes, well, we're not supposed to do this, but here's some money. Let's go get her a tuk-tuk. It's a cab in Guatemala. And so we got her a cab, and she was so grateful and so thankful. And you know, and when we prayed, she cried. We prayed with her. And it just breaks your heart to know, like somebody said, the difficulties they face. And just prayer. So many people, when you prayed with them, they cried. They wept. They held your hand. They were very, very easy to love. And I think that's what draws you back, really, in the end. All the other things are good, but the love for the people will draw you back. And I know some of you guys have been many times. That's probably true. So I learned a lot of things. I learned to love them. I also did dumb things. One day we were at probably one of the poorest churches. It was our last one. Yeah, y'all are laughing already. It was really a poor church. And I got there. I had to use the restroom, and I'm kind of putting it off. And finally, I'm about to die. And some people had used the restroom. I go, where's the restroom? They're like pointing. They go, over the sheets that are hanging down. There was like sheets hanging down. And so they're pointing over there and just go over there. And so I start heading that way. And I kind of cross through a boundary area. And I look over and there's a lady just smiling. She's washing her clothes and not doesn't speak any English. And she's looking at me. And I'm like, hi. And I said something in Spanish. And I go, I'm going to use the bathroom and baño. And she's like, you know, and so I walk over to this bathroom, and it was, I can't describe how nasty it was. It was the worst ever. Man, oh man, I wouldn't send an animal in there. But wow, I was glad to get out of there, and I got back out, and she's still waving at me. And I go back, and everybody says, well, did you find the restroom? Yeah, I said it was way back over there, and said there was some lady, and they go, that's not where the bathroom is. It was like, that's the next door neighbor or something. It's went to the bathroom in somebody's house, I think. So. All right, well, paid the price for that one because it wasn't good. Yeah. So there's some humbling experiences, no doubt, and that was one of them. But anyway, I think if I left you with one message is to, if God's calling you, get over your anxieties, get over your fears, put it before the Lord, and just do it. Like, I guess that's Nike. I can't steal from them, but just do something. We'll steal from the book. And thank you guys for your support and your prayers, and I hope you get a chance to go.
Hello. My name is Christy Murphy, for those of you who do not know me. Lovely Amber is my daughter. Her trip up the volcano was was something, and Mama was freaking out. I don't think I've ever gotten off a horse so fast to get to her. But the Lord had provision in that, as she has already said. I'm going to share for you three ways that the Lord provided for me. I'm going to share about God's provision in pain, God's provision in perception, and God's provision in proclamation. My time in Guatemala was an affirmation of God's provision in all things. The verse I want to kind of focus on is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Each day of my trip was an opportunity for God to shine in his provision. I'm going to tell you about my top three, because they were a lot. Our first day in the medical clinics was the time when God showed me his provision in pain. As some of you know, I have for years struggled with migraines. And as we were entering into Guatemala, I began to get a migraine from the get-go. But we weren't doing anything really big. I was able to just focus and move on. But it did not go away. In fact, it increased in pain. And so by the time we got to this first day, I had had a migraine for 2 days. And I was like, you know, Lord, I just, you know, I'm going to be in gospel stations today. I have got to be in my top game. I really need you to take care of this. I told Max so that he could pray, but I didn't really tell that many other people because I didn't want them to think, oh, Christy, what? Yeah, I didn't want them to focus on me because I wanted it to be on what needed to be. But I did have one area where I could call out the big guns. I posted it on Facebook. So I figured everybody's going to know who's not here, and Lord's, they're going to pray, and the Lord's just going to take this headache away. And I waited and waited, and it just did not go away at all. So I was like, okay, Lord, this too is through your good hands. I'm just going to suck it up and deal with it. And the Lord graciously worked in that when the people would come and sit down, from the moment they sat down to the moment they got up, my headache was gone. As soon as they got up to leave, it came back. But as soon as the next person sat down, it would go away. I was able to minister and to serve him through pain, which was just very cool. That was God's provision through pain. And in spite of all of that, to minister in spite of the pain, the Lord graciously allowed four people to come into his family in the gospel stations that day for me. God's provision. I did too many P's. God's provision through perception came on Tuesday. It was my second day in gospel stations. Shannon and I started the day together, and then we split. And then in the afternoon, I had a young woman come through my station. Most of the people I talked to that day had been believers. There were a couple exceptions, the one Shannon and I spoke to earlier, and this young mom, Sandra. She sat across from me with holding her baby and had two young sons with her, maybe 5 and 3. And after we got to know her a little bit, you know, just basic, why are you here? What's going on? I asked her, if you were to stand before God today and he were to ask you, why should I allow you to come into my heaven? What would you say? That was one of my go-to lead questions. And she, through the interpreter, said, I would say nothing. I would be on my face in shame. I was like, okay, I can work with this. So I started asking her, why do you feel shame? Why would you feel like you could not respond to him? Thinking, okay, here we can talk about shame, we can talk about sin and figure out what that is. You know, I had my thing all planned out. We were going to go this way. Had my Vanja cube ready. Yeah. And she began to tell me about when she was 4, she had been sexually abused by a policeman in her village repeatedly and over years, with the threat of, if you tell anybody, I will kill you. When she was old enough, she moved to another village to get away from him, but she still lived in fear that he would find her. So I was rocked. I mean, okay, forget this. You know, Lord, what do I do? How do I give her any kind of hope when she has lived her entire life with this kind of fear? And it was the Lord who gave me the next line. It's like, can I show you how to live a life without shame? Because her whole life was built up in, it is my fault this happened to me. It is my, and so that is why I cannot even approach God, because there's too much shame within me. And so I was able to take her through the Evangel Cube in a totally different way, talking about how God's own son had been abused and killed by evil men, how what happened to her was not her fault, that she the shame was on the man who did that, not to her. And miraculously, she came to know the Lord. So I was able to send her away with the Bible. I had highlighted some verses in Psalms, one in particular that talks about how God preserves us from evil men and protects us. And I pray for Sandra daily that she will read God's word and take that into her. So that was God's provision through perception, allowing me to perceive what was going on with her. The third provision of God that I'd like to tell you about was his provision of proclamation. Before we left on our trip, Harry had already assigned who was going to do devotions for the team, and he had given me a day to do, and I thought, okay, you know, it's the team. I know there's men on the team, and I'm a little intimidated by sharing with men, but, you know, okay, I can do this. I can do this. You know, these are guys. They know me. It's okay. It's all right. It'll be all right. And then I thought, oh, I'm Sunday. I'll just take the same passage that Rob's going to preach that day, and I'll try and pick his brain, and it'll be like he's, you know, he would do the work, and I would just speak it, you know. But it didn't quite work that out way. You know, it was like, you know, we couldn't get together. We couldn't find the time to talk. So I had to actually study it myself. And so I was okay. I was okay with that. But then we got down there, and Herman said, well, I need some of your guys to share in the morning time for both teams and do the devotional. I was like, it was me. I ended up doing that, and it wasn't just our group. It was our group, and there was another group. And if it had just been that group, it was okay, because it was high school students and, you know, some of their leaders. But I was okay with that. But it was not just. It was like all the doctors, all the drivers, all the interpreters. I looked out, and it was just like massive humanity waiting to hear me. Okay. So I had to redo the devotional and tweak it so that they would understand the whole of Colossians, because you can't just dive in where we were. I had to add in, and so I was over my head. But what helped me the most as I got closer to the time to speak was each of the men on the team affirmed me, said they were going to be praying for me, and I knew Rob was praying for me. So I was able to be bold and to speak out and to proclaim what God had for me that day, to proclaim his word to the believers. God has provided all that I needed when I was in Guatemala, not just financially, not just spiritually, not just emotionally, but every bit of it. And he can provide the same provision through you, for you as well. He gave me provision through pain, perception, and proclamation, so that I was able to, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, I was able to abound in every good work.
Hello, my name is Steve McGowan. However, I'll be playing the part of Ben McGowan, if only for a moment. A little less hair on the head, a little more hair on the face, but that's okay. I will say, just real quick, what a blessing it was just to go. And there's so many stories, you simply can't tell them all. There's just no way. If you want to get together over dinner, love to do it. Just don't have the time here. But once again, for those who prayed, sent financial support, thank you so much. Wow. Guatemala trip by Ben McGowan. So this is for Ben. Now, why did I go to Guatemala? This summer I went to Guatemala because I felt God was leading me to do something better than just sitting around doing nothing. Hear, hear. Instead of doing that, I thought it would be great to tell people about Christ our Savior and how powerful and mighty. Whew. Excuse me. How powerful and mighty our God is. Now, someday, He'll come back. Sorry. What did God show me, teach me while I was there? God really showed me that even though we may think we have a bad here, we don't at all. Some people wish they could be us. I think God taught me to be a little more thankful for what I get. Things I enjoy. Some things I enjoy was seeing how thankful they were and just seeing how generous they were. And they would think about you before themselves. Sometimes, I wish I could be as thoughtful as them. Things hard but fruitful. One of the things for me was being the youngest one there, and sometimes I did not really know what they were talking about. But at the end, I felt a lot different and changed. My relationship with God now, I think my relationship with God can only grow stronger. So, I did not plan for that to happen. Thank you, Ben. And now I'll be Steve very briefly. Even setting this up, I went to talk to Harry, as Shen alluded to. Talked with him. Basically thought that, hey, look, I'm going to go talk to Harry. I'm going to close this deal. It's done. There's a minimum age here, Shannon. So I went to go talk to Harry, and he was like, oh, yeah, bring it on. Yeah, come on. I was thinking, thanks a lot for nothing. And so, anyway, so Harry, obviously, more than welcome to share, and just battling, a family of four, and God willing, faith in again, five. It's not cheap, but the theme for me being there was that God has no limits. He is not limited by what we are limited by. He has no limits, and that was the theme for me. And so each note of encouragement, each check that was sent in from friends and family was just an affirmation of that, that God will use who He pleases, when He pleases. And so, just a brief story. Gosh, hope I can get through this one. Story of a woman with Shannon. I got to praise God and spend time with Shannon at a gospel station. And an elderly woman came up, and we talked with her about who Jesus was. Do you know who Jesus is? Yes, I know who Jesus is. Do you know why He came? What do you know about Him? And keep in mind, we're going around the wheel here. I mean, we've got two interpreters, two different dialects. So it's taken a little while, but by the time that we got to, she really didn't know who Christ was. But yet she went to church every day. Every week she went to church. So she was hearing something, but she didn't know Christ. And so I thought, well, heck, I'm not going to tell her. I'm just going to allow the Word to do what the Word does and let God be who He is. And so He revealed Himself to that woman through His Word. And she met not the Christ that she's heard about, not the Christ that she had in her mind, but the Christ who is in the Bible, the one and only. And that day, she came to know Him. But I have to tell you, one of the most moving parts for us, for Shannon, when she called upon the name of the Lord, I mean, she was calling. And it was like nobody else was there. And she was loud, and she was unapologetic about it. And when she was crying out, I'm talking, she was crying out to the Holy One right there. And by the grace of God, we got to see it. I'll never forget that, watching that woman on that day be ushered in And if you want to hear her story, you can do that one day in heaven, because she'll be there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kendall. Going to Guatemala was a really, really big adventure for me. I was really hesitant to go because I've never been to a third world country, and I thought it'd be really nerve-wracking to be around all Spanish speakers, and also I was really nervous to share my faith. That was probably the biggest hurdle for me because I've never done that before. The most intimidating day for me was when I was actually in the gospel station. I tried to figure out what I was going to say and what I was going to do, and I had this whole plan in my head, but as we started talking to the people, it was like God just took away all my fears, and he was telling me to just follow his lead, and that was really comforting. I was expecting to meet mostly lost people who didn't want to hear the word of God, but some of the people I talked to were the most strongest Christians I've ever met. They were so thankful for absolutely everything because they didn't have anything. All they had was Christ. One woman I talked to told me that she walks 3 hours a day, three times a week with her kids to go to church. And it was so encouraging to hear that, because how many times do I get up on Sunday mornings complaining that we have to get in our car and drive 30 minutes? I mean, it was really humbling to hear her story. And just seeing how thankful they were for everything, from stickers and bubbles to Bibles and the good news of Jesus. Going to Guatemala was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. It was awesome to get to know and make so many new friends. It was fun watching ping pong, the big competitions upstairs, and learning how to speak some Spanish from the translators we met, and trying to keep up with their really fast conversations in the car rides, which are crazy, by the way. I'm surprised we all made it. I don't think my dad has good reason to complain about my driving now. And of course, I loved the car rides with Ben and Bowen, too. I had to make a comment about that. I've never laughed that much one day before. And I loved that I got to go with my dad, too, for this trip. It was the best part was one of the days where we got to be in the gospel station together, and it was great how we were able to work together to share God's love and grace. And it was amazing to learn about how Christ can use us in any situation, and I can't wait to hopefully go back again. So,
Marvelous, wonderful, infinite God, author of all that is good, faithful provider and giver of life, source of all power and love. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, refuge of strength to the end, righteous Redeemer and mighty to save. He's the anchor of hope for the souls of men. Gracious, compassionate, merciful God, radiant, holy delight, beautiful Father, victorious Son, source of unchangeable light. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, refuge of strength to the end, righteous Redeemer and mighty to save. He's the anchor of hope for the souls of men. You are light and dark, you are healing for the broken heart, you are hope, you are Lord, you are life, you are love that endures. Powerful, constant, unwavering God, shepherd who comes for the lost, rock of salvation, remarkable love, Savior who died on the cross. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, refuge of strength to the end, righteous Redeemer and mighty to save. He's the anchor of hope for the soul. Oh, he's the anchor of hope for the soul. Oh, he's the anchor of hope for the souls of men.
Make it brief, maybe. Wow, did we have fun. I mean, I prepared a little something to stay, but I'm not going to go there because everything's been said. I will say that I didn't know that I was going to have the privilege to lead this team until the Thursday before we were leaving Saturday. And when Harry asked me to step out on the porch, I'm thinking, what have I done now? And I had a list of things, but he didn't find out about any of them. And he said, you're going to do this. He didn't give me an option. He said, you're going to do this. And my first thought was, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And my second thought was, I will never, ever again think to myself, I wouldn't lead this team this way. Because now I get to lead it my own way. At any rate, so be careful what you think about. The best thing there is to lead someone to Christ. And that's why we are put on this earth. And the second best thing there is to minister to someone who knows Christ via getting them a tuk-tuk so they can ride home, or explaining to them that the shame that they're feeling for whatever they've done is forgiven. forgivable through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the best thing. So if you're called to go to Guatemala, go. If you're not called, don't sweat it, okay? Because God doesn't call everybody to go on a mission trip. So don't sweat it. But if he calls you to go, go, okay? I want to thank all of you who prayed for us continuously while we were there, because your prayers were felt and it was just awesome being there. The sad thing was some of our people couldn't go, and that was sad. The good thing was we had a wonderful team, just a wonderful team. Everybody was on the same page, and it was awesome, and that's all I have to say. So thank you.
But I think he's calling some of you to go. We close this in prayer. Father, thank you for your work that we've seen today. Thank you for the accounts we've heard of how your word, your sovereign seed, has borne fruit in the lives of Guatemalan people. Thank you that in eternity we will see men and women and children who came to know Christ through this team this year. Thank you that we have an extended family now because of the ministry of this team. Thank you, Father, for answering prayer. Thank you for how you delivered them through difficulty. Thank you for your great faithfulness, O God. I pray that you'd stir us up, raise us up to go next year. Lord, I pray that you would call people specifically from this morning, put it on their hearts, nudge them and throttle them with your Holy Spirit, that they know that they should go. All this we pray through Christ, our strong Savior. Amen. Thank you, friends. You're dismissed.